Welcome to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast, your home for insights and insider knowledge about hypnotic change work. With your hosts, control practitioners and hypnotists, Nicole Mazzucato and Anthony Gitch.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hypnotic Healers. I'm Nicole Mazzucato, and as always, I'm here with my friend and co-host Anthony Gitch all the way over there. Our usual disclaimer before we get started, neither Anthony nor I are licensed medical professionals, psychologists, psychiatrists, or anything of the sort. So please do not make any changes or alterations to any medications or treatments you're on based on the conversation you hear here today. Take what you like, leave the rest. And while you're leaving stuff, you can leave us a like, a love, a heart, a thumbs up, a review, share us around, say hi, drop us a message, whatever you feel like doing, really. Hello, Anthony.
Hello, Nicole. It's good to see you.
As always.
Yep. And so how was your weekend first? Did you have a good weekend?
Yeah. I can't really remember. Yeah, 2 days ago. Yeah. 1 day ago. I don't know.
Well, at any rate, it's good to see you, dear. And today we are going to talk about inductions, something we haven't covered, I don't think, very much about. And it's an interesting conversation because particularly in control, we don't use a lot of inductions, or we don't use a formalized induction in any way, shape, or form. So the only time I use inductions are when I'm doing like mindscaping or, you know, so a particular request for somebody or doing something for fun, right? Maybe some stage stuff or some street stuff. We'll do some quick inductions, but, so we thought it was about time to kind of talk about that.
Yeah. So inductions are usually used when you're working with trance, right? Which is why you don't necessarily use it in control because we don't formally induce trance. But yeah, in trance-based methods, there is some sort of induction, and there's different categories and different types of inductions. So you've got kind of instant and rapid inductions. You've got inductions that can take a little bit longer, like a couple of minutes, and inductions that can take as long as you like. So you go from one end of the spectrum to these kind of instant inductions to the other end of the spectrum, like progressive muscle relaxation, which can be like, what, a 10, 20 minute long induction.
Right. And it's a process. And, you know, it's amazing when you use those. I like to use those particularly when I'm trying to help someone learn how to relax. If I'm going to be working with pain clients and I'm going to be teaching them pain control methods for chronic issues, we're generally going to make sure that we can get in touch with every part of our body, which is what we do through progressive relaxation, right? I mean, we're starting either at the head or at the toes, and we're taking each little bit up from there until I think it's a great way for people to learn how to get back in touch with their bodies.
Mm. Yeah. It's the scanning, isn't it? It's going through one by one, muscle by muscle, that idea of relaxing, imagining every single tiny muscle and nerve in your body, just relaxing and becoming, you know, soft, loose and limp, however you want to word it. Yeah.
Relaxed.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you say, I think it is very much a journey through the body, isn't it? So you are connecting with the body in some way. And it's really useful for people like potentially with sleep, relaxation, things like that. You know, they can be good candidates for that. And I feel like that kind of progressive muscle relaxation could just be a hypnosis in itself.
Absolutely.
For particular, you know, sleep cases, if you want to make a recording of something like that, add in some direct suggestion and then just let them drift off to sleep from there. You can extend that progressive muscle relaxation as long as you want it to be. It could be a few minutes. It could be, as we said before, 20 minutes or something like that. So it can be a tool in itself.
Yeah, because it hyper-focuses the mind internally. And if you're that focused on how does your little toe feel and moving up all the way, you know, through your body, like you said, it's hard to focus on what isn't working, right? Because you're so hyper-focused on what is happening right now in the moment. And I think that that's a really good exercise for people just in itself.
Yeah. I don't think it's the best type of induction for people that have got a very busy mind.
No. It could, if they want to learn to slow it down possibly and to mm-hmm. try methods to take the rabbit and turn it more into a turtle.
Yeah.
That person crazy too. It could be like putting the rabbit in a tiny freaking cage and shaking the cage.
Exactly. So, you know, kind of horses for courses in terms of inductions. There are different points of view on this, and we'll cover, you know, the different types of inductions. But some people say, I've got one induction and that's it. That's the one that I use with all my clients. It's not about the induction that fits the client. It's about the induction that fits the practitioner, if you like. Yeah. So it's like, this is my induction. This is the one that I use. And that's what you get no matter.
Tools that we use, right? I mean, even the techniques that we use, it's not about the technique. Mm-hmm. It's about the person who's using the tool, right? And which is best for them. And they're going to be best at whatever method is more congruent with who they are. And it's the same with inductions. That's why there's a couple inductions I'll use, but there are some really good confusion inductions, right? That's for what they say when you've got a hyper analytical client, you know, use that confusion induction, and they're kind of fun. I like to use the language patterns in confusional inductions in my deepeners, which we'll talk about in a moment, which comes after the induction. But confusional is fun because it forces the mind to do too many things at once. Because we've got that 7 to 9 bits that can actually consciously pay attention. And when you're instructing one part of the mind to be in a classroom, remember a classroom from childhood, it'd be up at the board, on the board writing with chalk the numbers 1 through 10. And then over in the corner of the, you know, in the other corner of the room, you're also reading a book at the same time while you're counting backwards from the number 100, right? And you're starting to compound all this stuff, and the hyper analytical person goes, okay, now I can't control any of this. And the mind goes, and that's our in, right?
And it is that, you know, when we talk about induction, we talk about inducing, right? Kind of inducing the trance state. Are we calling it a state? We'll go with that, you know, inducing the trance state
experience.
Yes, there you go. Inducing the trance experience, inviting it along. And as I think I learned this, you know, this idea from Tim of creating kind of subconscious dominance, which I really like that as a way of approaching trance. Yes. You know, where usually we're kind of in a place where the conscious is very dominant and you know, it's in the forefront and managing everything that's going on around us. But there are those moments where it kind of slips out, right? And the subconscious comes into play and sort of takes over. So in this sense, the subconscious dominance, and what we're doing is we're lowering the strength, I guess, the strength, the influence, the power, whatever you want to call it, of the conscious, and allowing the subconscious to kind of, I'm not really sure how to dominate. Put it into words. Dominate. Yeah, that's it.
And I kind of look, now isn't that interesting? Because when I talk about it, I tell people we leave the conscious mind alone. Mm. We don't do anything with the conscious mind. We just create the opportunity for the subconscious to overpower and to come out and take control of playtime. You know, That's kind of the way that I explain with that, and that's that dominance piece. And then, you know, and we've all experienced it, like we both said, you know, where you go to slam on brakes that aren't on your side of the car, when you throw you begin to trip, right? And your subconscious dominates everything around you and throws your hands out in front of you to block your face from hitting the pavement. That's subconscious dominance.
Yeah. You haven't had time to consciously process that and think about it. And, what am I going to do next?
Right. Throw my hands out in front or plant it on the fence. No, the subconscious runs its primary directive. It steps up and it dominates our everything in us and protects us. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool. But, and you know, those are great flashpoints for inducing trance, right? That's the whole idea behind, instant inductions, right? Is that that moment of, I forget what the technical term is, of some sort of a spike that creates when like they're pushing down on the hand, when we do the 8 forward induction, push on my hand and then you pull the hand away. And that spike in adrenaline, or not adrenaline, but rush when the hand goes away, that's the opportunity when you say sleep and the subconscious goes, okay. And they just drop into a trance. But let's talk about one of the most widely used and the one probably most commonly taught throughout most schools, and that's the Elman induction, or some variation of the Elman induction, right? Which is where we have the counting backwards. So we have the loss of numbers, which indicates a level on the Harry Aaron's depth scale of trance levels, right? That helps to create, get us down to where we're getting to somnambulism, which is what the idea behind trance is, to get us into that state of somnambulism or deeper. And, or at least it's somnambulism, and then we can use deepeners on top of it. But the Elman induction, you know, it includes some IMR work, which is ideomotor response work, as a way to for the client to let you know subconsciously when they're at that stage. And like I said, we've got the loss of the numbers. You've got the drop of the hand, where you're holding up a person's hand and you're saying, you know, just let me do it. And you're testing their level of relaxation through that until the hand can just plop down. You've got eye lock in it, which is, you know, where you suggest that the eyes are so heavy that they're just not going to open. And then you give them a good test. So it's a really common, very highly, widely used rather, induction. And it's been manipulated or turned into several different variations.
Yeah. The eye lock is definitely something that I think you learn in every single training school talks about the eye lock. Whether you use it as part of an induction or part of a deepener, you know, testing also testing responses and things like that. It's one of the most common things that you learn.
Absolutely. And then we've got, we've talked a little bit about the confusional ones, which are fun. We have the mind doing lots of different things. We talked about progressive relaxation. We talked about the most common, which is the Elman.
So you've got more kind of, in a sense, mind inductions, mind-led inductions, and then you've got more body-led inductions.
Kinesthetic-led, right?
Right. So you've got things like, you can go from magnetic fingers even into an induction, which is, again, one of the most common first things that you probably learn when you get into hypnosis, magnetic fingers or magnetic hands, whatever, you know, or you can go in from magnetic fingers into a hand lock, which is what the Jacquins do. You've got all sorts of, you know, bits of body that you can use.
Well, you've got the clench induction, right? That's a Mandel, or, you know, I mean, that's where I learned it, was from Mandel, Mike Mandel, but it's a great, the ambiguous touch induction, right? Where you, there's a lot, the kinesthetic ones, and it's good. And that's why it's good to recognize and to talk to the client sometimes to find out, are they auditory? Are they visual? Are they, you know, what is it? Because if they're visual, you know, one of the first things I'm going to have them do is, regardless of which kind of induction I'm going to use, I'm going to have them hyper-focus their eyes on one particular point until that becomes fuzzy. And then I'm going to have them close their eyes, right? Because they need to be engaged in that manner to some degree. And so, you know, that's where that kind of stuff is important as practitioners, for us to pay attention.
One of the first inductions I learned was the steps, you know, counting somebody down some steps, down 10 steps. And with each step, you go deeper, you know, drifting, sinking, floating deeper. It worked for most, you know, it worked for most people, you know, and you've got things similar to that, things like walking down a path or going down an elevator, this idea of like going down somewhere, going deeper somewhere, you know, walking along a beach, walking in a kind of prairie, like a, you know, a prairie full of long grass and things like that. I think you have to be a little bit careful when you do those sorts of visual things where you're putting in a lot of suggestion as to where they are in the environment that they're in, because as you know, if you've got somebody that's got a phobia of snakes and you're sending them skipping down a prairie full of really long grass, they might be freaking out going, oh my God, this is probably full of snakes, and that's causing them more stress than, you know, it's having the complete opposite effect to what it is that you're trying to achieve with them. So you do need to make sure that you understand the person sitting in front of you and whether there are any kind of fears or phobias there that may have an impact on what it is that you're asking them to do.
Absolutely. In fact, it's funny that you say that. I was reading the other day, I was going back through and rereading a book or parts of a book by Dr. Joe Dispenza called Breaking the Habit of Being Yourself. And there is some self-hypnosis that is included, because, you know, he's been a hypnosis and NLP practitioner as well. And the induction that he talks about in this book,
the
water rising induction. And you imagine yourself sitting there and this water starts to fill up at your feet and it starts to fill up the room you're in. And I'm like, that doesn't seem like the best sort of, not for me. I mean, I love a nice warm bath. Don't get me wrong. But I don't know, something like that, you know, and again, that's that whole visualization aspect. You know, you're in a room and the room is filling up with water. I don't know if that would be really great for some people.
Yeah. So that's the thing, isn't it? You need to kind of have some information about the person sitting in front of you if you're going to do that kind of visualization. Freddie does a really nice one, kind of along the lines of the confusion. He calls it a psychological decapitation. And it's as he's counting down, you know, kind of letting go of the body. So like the body relaxing. And then at the same time, he's counting up. So he's sort of like mixing the numbers. And as he's counting up, it's like letting go of the mind. And it's also a really nice induction, really good for people that are kind of heavy thinkers and very analytical. And like you say, that kind of confusion thing really works really well for them, because they're like, oh God, I can't follow this anymore. I don't even know what I'm supposed to be following.
Right. And therein lies, that's why we call it a confusional induction. And they are fun. They can be hard. They can be, you need to, as a practitioner, you need to follow what you're doing, because it can be confusing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh shit. Which number am I on? I don't know.
Right. Like, where am I at again? Okay. Wait. So you're there now, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Those are fun. And then we've got, you know, like we said, the instant inductions.
I'm not entirely sure the difference between an instant and a rapid induction. I've got to be honest.
So a rapid induction is the way that I was taught, and the way that I teach it in one of my classes. A rapid induction is something that the Elman induction is a rapid induction. That could be.
So we're talking like
it doesn't take a lot
of
time.
Or a couple of minutes.
Yes. Whereas an instant induction is something like where you have them sitting there and you press on my hand. Good, good, good. Close your eyes. Press my hand. You yank the hand away and yell sleep. Right.
Right.
That would be an instant induction or shock induction. And
right.
Shock inductions are all instant. You know, you'll see most street hypnotists will use instant inductions. Stage hypnotists will use rapid inductions. They use rapid, but they'll employ the instant at the same time when they go up. So they'll start the induction process on everybody, right? And then they'll go up to each of the individuals and sleep, right? As they go down the line. But they've already begun the process, right? And so, and then we've got compounding inductions, which really then gets into more of the deepener sort of idea of what follows the induction is the deepeners. So you can get them to those what they consider to be deeper levels. Although it's interesting how we have that concept, right, of going deeper. When it's, are we going anywhere?
Yeah, it is an interesting one. And I think we'll come back to that in just a second. The instant inductions. So in a therapeutic context, yeah, a rapid induction, depending on how you work. Like I say, some people might prefer to use a longer induction. I was taught to do a rapid induction, you know, like a couple of minutes and that was it. And that's most of the inductions that I've learned as well for in a therapeutic context. Instant inductions are usually more used in an entertainment setting, because they have that kind of entertainment factor attached to them. And it's not usually, And it's not usually necessary within a therapeutic context, right? It's, you don't need that sort of shock factor in a therapy room.
Correct. I would agree with you. I definitely agree. You know, it's but there are people who enjoy it, right? And there are some people, I believe that, and they don't come to me. I'm sure they've got the perfect hypnotist that they do end up calling. The people who need that ritualistic idea of that, I can't do this without this, right? In fact, I just had a client last week who the first time I saw him was pre-COVID, and I did a regular induction, a confusional induction with this guy, actually. And a lot of deepeners. I was using a different non-smoking process at the time. And I had a lifetime guarantee. This guy said this before COVID. Well, then he moved to the Czech Republic with his wife and COVID hit. And now they were back in the States, and he made it like a year and a half without smoking. And then he started smoking again because his wife started smoking. Excuse me. And so he comes back, and this time I'm, of course, using control. And we didn't talk about anything. I'm like, we're just, put your hands on your knees. Let's just do this. Right. And we got everything going. And it was interesting because when I started talking to his fingers, right, like we do, he instantly was out almost. Mm. And when we were done, he says, he could very clearly define, he says, I feel foggy. He says, I don't know what just happened. He says, but this was, he, you know, because the last time it was a 2-hour session, right? And this time we were, you know, in and out, what I call in and out in like 20 minutes. And he's like, dude, I feel like I'm just lost somewhere.
Yeah.
It's like, that's amazing. And it, all done on his own. I didn't do anything, right? I mean, and that's the beautiful part about what we do, because his mind expected, okay, when I'm talking to this guy, this is the place where I go, right? Mm. And so when I started talking to him, that's where his mind went, and it was perfect because, you know, then we tested everything. He went away, he came back, and he's just like, he's blown away. He's more amazed by this process than he was the first one.
Yeah, and you do get that a lot, don't you? People just sort of go into their own, just go into a trance all by themselves.
Right, so he induced himself, right? Which is what we all do anyway. I mean, that's what an induction, when a hypnotist induces somebody, the person they're inducing is simply following instructions on how to relax to an extremely relaxed level. Right? I mean, and focusing their attention.
Hmm. Yeah. My sort of favorite, I think this is an Elman thing as well. I'm sure I got it from his book. Especially if I've worked with somebody before. Yeah. I don't know that I use it with a first time client. I use it with people that I've worked with before, is literally just saying to them, I want your mind to take you to the deepest level that's available to you. Go there now and nod your head when you're there. And you do that 3 times. That's it. That's all you need. It takes a minute, couple of minutes maximum. And they've done the work themselves. You didn't, you know, there's no, I'm not counting. I'm not, you know, not describing anything for them, just handing it over to them and letting them go wherever it is that they need to go.
One of my most favorite inductions that I have been using when I do induce these days is just doing an eye lock and taking the eye lock and that relaxation, right? Because that's the words we use, that relaxation that you're experiencing. These eyes are so relaxed. Once I get that the eyes aren't opening, then I just turn that. Let's turn that relaxation into a wonderful state of hypnosis. And then I send it up to the top of their, to the very top of their head. And as soon as you say, send it to the top of your head, you can almost feel tingling in the top of your head, right? Because you're focused there. So that just helps to create that sense even more. And then I'll literally send it into their jaw, lock their jaw. And then when they can't speak, turn it back to normal. And we just go from there. And that's that, then I'm done. And it's like a 2-minute induction and that's it. And I know they're where they need to be because I've just done all my testing as well.
Right. Right. Yeah. So testing, let's talk a little bit about testing.
Okay. One of the first tests I learned was, it can also be used kind of as a fractionation, but I'm going to count from 1 to 3. When I get to the number 3, you're going to open your eyes and then you're going to immediately close your eyes, right? And each time you close your eyes, you're just going to allow yourself to go even deeper. So you go 1, 2, 3, open and close. 1, 2, 3, open and close. 1, 2. And you wait. And if they open their eyes, it means they're consciously expecting you to say 3. So they're consciously involved, right? If they 1, 2, and they don't do anything, it means that their subconscious is listening and that you're where you need to be.
Right. Right. Yeah. I've not heard of that one before, actually. I really like that because, yeah, like you say, that's kind of got fractionation tied into it, hasn't it?
Right. And that anticipation.
Yeah. 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 So fractionation, for those that don't know, is deepening. Again, I'm really not kind of that comfortable with these terms at the moment, but deepening the experience of the trance by repeating a part or an induction in a sense, you know, so like opening up your eyes and then closing them again and going deeper, opening up your eyes. So you're kind of by repeating that process, with each time they go sort of to a deeper place than they were before.
And, you know, it's one of the, and this is where that, where actual fractionation is based in, is for those of you who use an alarm clock and have the snooze function turned on, you know that when the alarm clock first goes off in the morning, you wake up, you're kind of wide awake and you're like, you roll over, you turn that thing. And it goes, and now you're able to go back to sleep for 5 more minutes, right? The next time that thing goes up, you're not as quick to get up and roll over and turn it off, and you hit it again. And then if you pay attention, the next time you roll over, you're even more slowly rolling over to hit it that third time, because every time you do that, you go back into sleep, you're falling into a deeper sleep. Right. And so that's where the idea of fractionation comes from when we do that. And, you know, maybe that's what I know that this, I don't necessarily like the term deeper either, because you're not going, you are going deeper into your mind, into yourself, into your experience. So I guess I'm going to be okay with using it in that term. That way I can be okay with it. See?
Yeah. I'm a terrible snoozer, by the way.
What do you mean? Oh, you do like to sleep.
I do like to sleep, and I'm terrible with the snooze button in the morning.
I don't have an alarm clock. I don't sleep in generally. I'm not, I'm an up and atom. Let's go hit the floor running.
Yeah. Yeah, not my case.
I know, sweetheart.
So the idea of the induction is to induce, obviously, the experience of the trance. Testing, you know, with there's all of these different things. So like the eye lock has a test built into it. The idea being, you know, kind of relax your eyelids, you know, so much that you just can't be bothered to open them. Or other people, you know, imagine that they're glued, stuck, locked shut, whatever it is that you need to kind of imagine. I get a bit like that. Imagine them glued, stuck is a bit weird. I think that could freak some people out a little bit. So I prefer to go down the, imagine that they're just so relaxed that you just can't be bothered to open them. And then the idea is that, okay, now you test to see if you can open your eyes. And, you know, if they're really struggling, then okay, great. We've got where we need to, we are where we need to be. Right. They're buying into it, in a sense.
People are testing. Yeah. Some people just sit there and you can tell when they're actually testing because the eyebrows will move.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll see movement in the eyelids. Yeah. Like they're actually, you know, they are actually trying. So there's loads of other ways of testing where you're at, and testing how responsive the client is. And then we go into deepness, which is another process, another terminology to assist the client in deepening their experience.
Yeah. And those can be, you know, deepeners can be anything from compounding inductions, right? For where you go from one induction to another induction to another induction. Each one, each time you take them through the subsequent induction, they're going to a deeper level in theory, right? And again, that's all based on what that Harry Aaron's depth scale that you know, determines there are certain classifications or certain tests that you can do at each level to see where you are. I mean, up to like, I've got a pair of forceps little clamps. And I'll clamp the back of someone's hand with these little forceps, right? And they freaking hurt unless you're in hypnosis.
Right.
And if you're hypnotized to the correct level, you get desensitization, that anesthesia effect, right? And that's where we start to work with pain and that sort of thing. And you have them open their eyes and hanging off of their hand, you know, is this forcep that is clamped on there. And they're like, oh my gosh, you're like, you don't feel that, do you? No, and you can stick pins through their skin and they won't bleed.
Don't try this at home, peeps.
Correct. Well, I mean, you can if you want. It's not my business. Well, you can do whatever you want, but I suggest you know how to do it first.
Yeah.
Because that way it's going to hurt.
And I don't think you mean forceps. Aren't forceps the things that you like pull a baby out with?
I mean,
just little clips, like paper clips. You know, like those little clamps for the... Yeah, I know what you mean. A little clamp. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little clamp.
Yeah. So that's, you know, those... Again, with deepeners, it could be things like lifting somebody's hand up and dropping it down to their lap. You know, it could be something like gently kind of moving someone's head, like rocking someone's head in a circular motion, very gently. You don't want to yank the head off or anything like
right.
that. There could be that. Again, a lot of these things can be used in different ways, right? A lot of these things can be used as an induction. It could be used as a test. It could be used as a deepener. There's, you know, kind of creativity is all yours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's one of the nice things about kind of the field that we work in is we have a lot of, leeway in the way that we use the tools that we use.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It's only limited by your own creativity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And your own willingness to try new things, try things out and see what works, see what feels right for you, see what you feel comfortable with.
Right. And that's how a lot of these new processes are even came up with. I mean, that's how control came up with the Aero technique. All of those things that people have done have come up with, you know, taking a technique that they like and tweaking it to something that works a little bit better for them in their own way.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Coming up with your own way of putting things, piecing things together.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, I think that's enough from us today.
Yeah. I think that was a great conversation. I appreciate it. We haven't talked about that kind of technical hypnosis stuff for a while. So yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. We'll be back next week with a guest, really lovely guest. So really excited to introduce her to our audience. And that's it from us. Take care, everyone.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Hypnotic Healers Podcast. Don't forget to leave us a review and follow us on Facebook. You can also join our mailing list at hypnotichealers.com.